Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen, it certainly is. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We all ought to know that that is the power of Jesus Christ who lives within us. And unto Him be glory in His church, in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, Amen. Amen. Brother Wayne, you can forget all about that. We're going to call an audible. I don't care if you leave that up there. You can leave that up there. That's fine. But we're not going to follow that. The preacher's going to go off script. You're worried, aren't you? The first thing I want to do is I want to make another announcement. I meant to communicate that to you, David, and I forgot to. But maybe you saw it in the paper, but Sister Betty Tinney passed away 1 week ago, actually on the 24th of August. And they will have a private graveside service out at Pleasant Hill Cemetery later this week. But I wanted to announce that to you so you'd be aware that that was happening. And to make you aware, Sister Betty was, well, let's just say she was quite an inspiration, wasn't she? She thrilled us a great deal while she was here until she moved over to the temple area. Anyway, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians. And I'm going to do what the quarterback says sometimes. He calls an audible at the line of scrimmage. We're going to use a different passage, and I'm just going to preach the long lesson next week. So you have a whole week's warning, okay? But I want to just lighten the air a little bit among us, some, if we can. We've had several different announcements that I think are the kind of thing that weighs on our conscience a great deal. We need to hear some things sometimes, and that is appreciated. That makes me think of the little story of a kindergartner bringing the hamster to class. And everybody was touching the little, you know, for show and tell, you know, and everybody was up and touching and handling and all of that kind of thing, the little hamster. One bright child said, is it a boy or is it a girl? Well, the owner of the hamster admitted that she didn't know. And all of the kids that were inquisitive about this whole thing, Doug, they kept looking around, feeling on, looking at and everything, and none of them knew how to tell whether or not it was a boy or a girl. One little fellow raised his hand. I said, wait, I know how we can tell. How's that? He said, we can vote on it. Well, there's just some things you can't vote on, right? Yeah, there's just some things you can't vote on because that's not going to determine one way or the other. Now, they may get the vote right, and that'd be okay, but that's not really the right way to determine what's really happening. I want you to take a look at the book of Philippians with me, and I'm going to make just a few quick statements about being joyful. And I'm using the book of Philippians because, you see, you know, Paul was one of these guys that was able to lift himself up even though it may not have been rosy all around him. Things are situations. And he starts here in Philippians 4. I know you're familiar with this passage. If you're not familiar with the idea of just Philippians 4, you'll be familiar with some of the words that are going to be in here, some of the verses. But listen to what he's saying. Even though he's in prison himself, and as Doug, you so aptly said this morning, he's a prisoner of the Lord, Jesus Christ, there because of the feelings that other people had about Jesus. And as he begins this chapter, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. That's verse 10. What a marvelous thing is being said about the Philippians, that they revived their concern about Paul. In verse 1, he says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And then he encouraged Euodias and Syntyche that they would live in harmony to the Lord. So here's the first thing I'm going to say to you about us being together today. And that is, if you want to have your joy taken away from you, just live in disharmony with your brother or your sister or some other person. If you've got a conflict going on in your life with another person, you need to settle it now. You need to take care of it. You know why? Well, because if it's the right thing to do, of course. It's the biblical thing to do. But because, you see, there are way more important things in the scheme of things, that is, in the spiritual realm, than you and me and our hurt feelings. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, or maybe it's a work person, a person you work with. If you want to have your joy taken away from you, you just have a troubled relationship. You just have a relationship that's not happy or not fun to be around. So Paul was pleading with those two that they would live in harmony in the Lord. Now, it's always wonderful if the Lord can be involved. I know it's not always the case. But I'm saying to you, we want our relationships to be good with one another. And if you want to keep your joy, you want to have your relationships in the right place. If you drop down to verse 4, he said, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And that's another reason that you want to make sure your relationships are good. Because believe it or not, the Lord is near. The Lord is ready. So keep your joy and get your relationships in the right place. But the next one is one that just probably encompasses many of us. He says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know that anxious is that thing we call worry. What are you worried about? Be anxious for nothing. Let the Lord take care of it. I want to say to you that I know you as fine people in the body of Christ recognize that there are bumps in the road in life, even in congregational life. Right, Roger? And sometimes we just sort of have to be made aware of it. Wake up to it. And yet we know that the Lord is going to provide. Amen? The Lord is going to help us. So, not only do we want our relationships to be right, but we want to be the kind of people who are not staying up at night worrying about everything that's going on. It's about time we let God take care of it. Besides, if I understand it right, He's going to be up all night anyway. Let Him take care of it. Don't let worry steal your joy. And then when Paul is getting into this idea of even some finality of his writing a little further on down, he says, this is verse 9, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, and whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's any worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Well, that's point number 3 right there. Quit thinking about the negative and start thinking in the positive. Start thinking about the good things. Things that are pure, the things that God is blessing you with every day. Sometimes our situations or our circumstances can't be helped, but we can still do good. We can still think about the good things. We can still recognize that God, in His excellence, is blessing us no matter what. That's a marvelous thing to recognize. You don't want to have those unencumbered thoughts about all the things that are happening, not good, etc. Some of us watch too much news. Turn it off a while. And think about what's going on around you that's good. There are good things happening. You probably have good neighbors next door to you that help you when you need help. What a great thing. You might want to try to get better acquainted with them. Go over and borrow something from them. You know, with the intent of paying it back, of course. But, you know, get to know them. Don't be like this newer generation seems to be, as though we just don't know anybody anymore. Let's get to know them. Let's visit with them. Go down and join Bobby Ferguson over at the Star and have coffee about 3 p.m. He's there almost every day. You want to see Bobby Ferguson? Go down there. You'll see him. And he'll talk to everybody in town because he knows everybody in town. And you'll learn some interesting things. I've already found that out. Some I can't repeat. If you know Bob and Patsy, they had a very colorful life. And then, when you look over here at verse 11, I'll read it to you. Not that I speak from want, he said. The first verse I read to you was verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me, and indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity. Not that I speak from want. Here's verse 11. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering. But what can he do always? Brethren, you know this verse. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Don't you leave here today. Don't you leave here today thinking that you can't accomplish what we need to accomplish as a goal here in this congregation, or whether it's a goal in your life. You can do everything, anything, through Jesus Christ. Why? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask or think. Come on, give me an amen. Okay. Well, just on that, I'm going to let you go home. Don't be discontent. Be joyful. And remember that you can do everything and anything through Christ. And if you look at verse 19, you will see that you will never be lacking, that your God will supply your every need. Hey, those of you that have lived a little longer than 20 years, say amen with me about that. I know you know that. You've had that in your life, hadn't you? Your God came along and took care of your needs. You can't explain it. It may have been the mailman that brought it. It might have been the friend next door that came over and did something. But you know it was God that sent them, taking care of you. Because God will satisfy and take care of and supply what you need. May not be on the time frame you had in mind, but God will do it. God will take care of you. I love you. I want you to know that whenever we offer an invitation, we're wanting you to make your life right with the Lord. Make your life right with your friends or your fellow members of the body of Christ, whoever it is, so that when the Lord comes, you know that you'll be with Him.